Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam.
Comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it! They win it! Kemba Walker. Step back.
Hello and welcome to Full Court Press alongside Nick Merrick. I'm Josh Franz and we're here to break down March Madness. That's right, the 2013 National Tournament. That's what today's episode is all about. A nice little March Madness special. What do you think about that, Nick?
Oh man, it's going to be good. I mean, a couple weeks off here, but good college basketball all around. Brackets should be interesting to see. So we'll be going through for you guys fans all the big bracket upset alerts and possible sleeper teams and whatnot. So stay tuned for a good 30-minute show here.
That's right. The tournament is just 2 days away from getting underway. Thursday, the games tip off in the round of 64. We're going to call that round of 64 the first round for the premise of this show. We know there's play-in games that count as the first round. We're discounting those altogether.
Yeah, a couple of them done, but whatever.
So we'll go first round is the round of 64, second round is the round of 32, and so on from there. And I think that'll just make it easier for everybody listening to understand exactly what we're talking about. But let's go through now the first round, Nick. What are the big upsets you have, or really just the one upset you have?
I mean, honestly, I don't really have many first-round upsets. I played a very safe bracket this year. I never do it. Usually I have about five or six upsets in the first round, but I don't know. I mean, I know the 12 over the 5 is a signature upset, and to be honest, I don't have a single one. I don't like any of the 12 matchups against the 5s. I think if the seedings were shifted a little bit, I don't really like Oregon over Oklahoma State. I think Oklahoma State's the best 5 out of all of them, out of VCU, UNLV, and Wisconsin. So I wasn't really that impressed to pick Oregon. So I actually avoided it like the plague. I didn't want to go with the 12 versus 5. So forget the 34% it happens. I actually went with my biggest upset was an 11 seed over a 6, and that was Bucknell over Butler. Why? People are going to be like, how can you do that? Butler made back-to-back championship games. They lost both of them. And my answer for that is there's no Shelvin Mack and there's no Gordon Hayward. I mean, yeah, Brad Stevens is arguably one of the better coaches left in the tournament, possibly the best non-BCS coach in the tournament. But you have to have you got to have a go-to guy. I mean, the problem is they literally only have 4 scorers, and then everybody else is almost non-existent. I think the Bison come in, they only turn the ball over 9 times per game. They shoot 36% from behind the arc. I think it's going to be very interesting. I think a lot of people are leaning towards this one, too, as one to look at. But as I mentioned, the Bison's problem is the fact they only have a couple of pure scorers. Then everybody else is below the 3 points per game. So if those 4 could step up, it could be a possible upset. But other than that, I didn't really get too fancy. I kind of wanted to get a little more risky in my later picks, maybe, you know, in the Sweet 16 round. So that's really my only big one. I mean, I have a couple other minor ones, but I don't really want to talk about the 10s over the 7s because they're basically a crapshoot anyways.
Right, same with 9-8s. We won't mention those. But it's funny that you're pretty conservative, and yet the one team that you pick to get upset in Butler is a team that I have in the Elite 8. I trust Brad Stevens no matter what recruiting class he has at this point. I think he can bring guys in who are going to play hard for him, play well, execute on the offensive end. And if they're playing against a team that only has 4 scorers, Brad Stevens will find a way to defensively take those guys out of the game and make somebody else beat them. Bucknell does not have anybody else that can beat them, and that's why I think Butler can take care of business.
I just feel like the reason that I have a problem with Butler is they peaked early. They peaked like in the first 2 months of the year, and then have kind of fallen off since then. I mean, the Atlantic 10 isn't that fantastic, even though they do have 5 teams now in it, with LaSalle's in the Big 10 as well. Atlantic 10, excuse me. But they lost all 3 meetings against St. Louis. They lost to VCU. So that's already a 4 and a 5 seed. They never beat them at all in the 2013 calendar year. But
they're all good losses, though.
They are good losses, but they weren't close. They got clobbered by VCU by over 30. At least they kept it close with St. Louis. But one of the hardest things, well, not back in January 31st, it was 75-58. But their big wins were against UNC. They beat Marquette, and they beat Gonzaga. They were one of only 2 teams to do that. Yeah, it's impressive, but that was back in January 19th. I'm not sure if they really improved since then. I mean, they haven't really been tested as much, so that's the only reason why I guess I go to that.
Right. Well, Bucknell's just the quality of team that they've been beating up on all season long, and they won't. To me, they won't get tested in that game. But I do have a bunch of upsets. I'll start for you in the Midwest region. Not going to go with the 9-8s or the 10-7s. We're just going to skip over those. But you see the Oregon against Oklahoma State, 12 against 5. I think Oregon's hot right now. We see how they played in the Pac-12 tournament. They've had a good regular season all year long. I think Singler's going to step up and play a little bit like his brother did at Duke. And they have a bunch of guards that can just take care of business, and I see them upsetting Oklahoma State.
Okay, I'll rebut that just a little bit because I had Oklahoma State, and it's funny because you mentioned you riding Butler, and here's a team in Oklahoma State that I contemplated running to the Elite Eight and beating Louisville in my bracket. I didn't, but I did send them to the Sweet 16 and said you had St. Louis in the Sweet 16. But the difference comes is because Oklahoma State's a team where they're starting to bring in some talent. They have quite a few quality players on their team, one of which Marcus Smart is in the running for Freshman of the Year in the NCAA. Also, LeBrian Nash was one of the highly touted. I think he was ranked second or third in ESPN last year. He's now a sophomore. So their guards could play, and they could play very well. So my only concern with that is if Oregon wants to beat them, they got to beat them down low, and Oregon's not the biggest presence out of a 12 seed. That's where I would have looked and said, you know, if Mississippi would have done that a little bit more physical game, I would have maybe had a Mississippi over Oklahoma State, but it's tough to say. I know why you went with it, though, because they are hot, but
momentum is so crucial in the tournament. We saw that last year, 2 years ago, with Kemba Walker just exploding.
Hold on. We got to save the Big East talk for later, though, with teams like Louisville running and getting hot.
We will, but we've seen what momentum can do in the tournament. But that's the only upset I have in the Midwest. But we move on to the Western region.
You got a couple in this one.
Yeah, my West is anything but chalk at the moment. I have Mississippi over Wisconsin. You mentioned Mississippi. Now, this is weird, because if I had Wisconsin winning this game, I had them going until the Elite Eight and then losing to Ohio State. But because I don't think that they can score on a consistent enough basis to win a bunch of games, I'm picking Mississippi.
Hey, guess what? I did have Wisconsin in my Elite Eight.
and more power to you for that. But it all goes back to momentum for me. I understand the SEC is not an overwhelmingly powerful conference.
Right.
I get that.
Right.
But the way they played in the tournament, the way they beat Florida, the momentum that they have, I believe can carry them over Wisconsin in the first round, and they're just going to put up too many points for Wisconsin.
Well, I understand that. I mean, they had one of the best guards in the game, too, in Marshall Henderson. I think he did just over 20 points a game. Yeah, but the Rebels got hot at the right time. I mean, that's exactly why people can run them. I don't know. It's just an interesting one, too, because I'm not really a big fan of sending Wisconsin to the Elite Eight, but I just don't like any team in the West. I think you and I both have the same problem.
Right. It was by default, really.
Roll the die, man. Just 1 through 6, roll the die. If a 6 is rolled, you run to the 6 to the Elite Eight. Like, that's literally how I felt like doing it. All right, take us through the other couple.
Well, yeah, so we'll stay in the West and go down to the Belmont-Arizona game. Belmont is one of the top three-point shooting teams in the country.
They always are, right?
Seems like it. So I think they can hit enough from the outside to take down Arizona. Arizona is kind of like a team that you mentioned earlier that just peaked early.
Yeah.
You mentioned Butler peaked early. I think Arizona peaked really early. They were undefeated for a while, expected them to run away. They had a chance to get a 1 seed in this tournament in January, but they made no noise down the stretch. Nothing in the Pac-12 in Pac-12 play or the Pac-12 tournament.
Good point, because they were ranked like number 7 there for a while.
They
all
were.
Of a sudden, they're the number 6 seed.
Yeah, so, well, the committee has no respect for the Pac-12, and maybe it's because they don't stay up late enough to watch the game.
Rightfully so, though.
But
I wouldn't want
to
watch it.
I don't have enough respect for Arizona to think they can slow down a Belmont team that's just shooting the lights out right now.
See, it's so funny because, I mean, I just want to show the fans how crazy this tournament's going to be. And really, they're listening to us and thinking, okay, let's see what advice we can get. Maybe we can find some cool things out here. Maybe one of us will bring out a good stat for you guys to use. But the fact is, yours and I bracket in the early rounds are very, very, very different. Later on, it pans out pretty much the same thing, so we'll get that later. But there's a team, you have Belmont upset, and I ride Arizona to the Sweet 16. I think they beat Belmont, and then I think they beat New Mexico. So it's funny. I just like putting out these observations. And a team like Mississippi, where you rammed to the Sweet 16, I went Wisconsin to the Sweet 16.
Right.
So it's like,
well, it's the way this college basketball has been all season long.
Yeah.
Everybody's been saying there is no phenomenal team this year.
There's not.
There's a few great teams.
Gonzaga's
a lot of good teams.
The best team in basketball. You gotta be kidding me.
Right. And we're not going to mention the 8s, 9s, and the 7, 10s, but I just want to point out in the Western region, I picked the 9, 10, 11, and 12 seeds to all win first-round games. So
that's great.
anything's really up for grabs
here. It is.
But now I'm going to move on to the South and give you my upsets there. The first one I have is Michigan against South Carolina. South Dakota State. Sometimes I pick my upsets based on how I want my tournament bracket to turn out. I think that if Michigan wins this game, they would lose to VCU in the next round regardless.
Right, so you want them to lose in the first round then instead.
Right, because then that'll mess up more people's brackets than mine because I don't have them winning a game,
period.
Well,
it's funny you had South Dakota State because actually I'm looking on Yahoo now and they said 95% of fans picked Michigan.
Really?
It's a big percentage.
That surprises me. I mean, yeah. Michigan's got a huge fan base. We know that. They've got a big program.
Good point. That definitely plays a role. And South Dakota State did get in by the automatic bid. They won their conference.
So they're on a roll, too. Yeah. I'm carrying this momentum.
You are.
And thinking it's going to pan out. I wasn't overly impressed with Michigan this year. There were some teams in the Big Ten that played well. I don't think they were at the top of it. And the four seed really reflects that. They had a chance to have a better seed going into the tournament, too. But I'm picking South Dakota State in that one. And that's the big upset I have in the South.
Funny part is I have chalk all the way through. 1-8 seeds all advanced. So that South's so boring for me.
Yeah, you're a little scared of making a commitment. But
I'm
it's okay.
Boring.
It's all right. So now let's move on to the East. I have Syracuse and Montana. This is another one where it's not that I'm so confident in Montana beating Syracuse. It's that I have so much lack of confidence in the Syracuse zone to really hold anybody from beating them. So I think Syracuse either loses to Montana or they lose to UNLV in the next round. But if they lose in the first game, it's not going to kill me because I have Montana.
Even the funnier thing, I wrote them to the Final Four. And you're bouncing them in the first round.
Let's save our Final Fours. But yeah, I don't know if Syracuse is winning a game. I think when you have a few days to prepare like Montana has, you can find a way to beat a zone. It's not that difficult if you have guys who play smart. And when you look at these smaller market teams, they're typically not the most athletic bunch. They're not the tallest guys. They're not the fastest guys. But they're guys that you see that play the game with a high basketball IQ, and really that's what it takes to beat a zone. You get two guys at the top of the post, maybe one guy in short corner, you pass the ball around, hit some shots, you get in a rhythm, you can beat anybody. And Syracuse isn't going to come out of their zone no matter what.
I just like Syracuse because of the leadership they have. They really aren't that young. They have a couple of freshmen who contribute, but really their top scorers are all sophomores and juniors. I mean, yeah, sophomores, okay, it's only 1 year, but still, that extra year is going to help. The fact that they made that big run in the Big East should give them confidence, which why I like him. And Brandon Trish is one of the best three-point shooters. Even if he has an off night, he'll have plenty of them, though. He always does. That's why Syracuse tends to struggle, because they struggle when they can't shoot threes. But I don't know. They'll be a fun team to watch, too. So, I mean,
I think that'll be a great game.
I could see there's
see going
so
down
many
the
good
wire.
Games in the first round. There's so many good games.
Right. And so, yeah, I have Colorado over Illinois at 10-7, but that's it.
I do, too.
For first-round upsets. Let's move on to our next little topic.
You know what?
Just
for a little thing for the fans. So you had, one major upset in the Midwest, and that was the 5 over. That was the 12 over the 5. You had three in the West.
Major.
We aren't counting the 9s and 10s. Forget those.
Are we counting the 10? Not
don't count the 10.
Okay, so then I had 2 in the Midwest because I had Mississippi
so
and
three
Belmont.
Total. Then you had 1 in the South.
Right.
And that was your South Dakota State over Michigan.
Right.
And then you have Montana over Syracuse in the East. So that's 5 total?
Yeah.
All right, little bet here, just for kicks. If you get 3 of the 5 of those right, I will give you a 3-minute FaceTime on the next podcast.
Okay. And I will have the liberty to say whatever I want, and most of you will probably tune that out.
But we'll find a fun way to spice it up.
We'll find something interesting.
But if you get better than 50%, you know, if you get 2 of them right, I'll give you like a little minute shout out.
Okay. I appreciate it.
I'd be impressed with those. I mean, some of those are pretty big picks.
Okay, and I'll make an agreement with you down the road. We'll see what topics come up later, and I'll find a way to give you some airtime too. Let's move on now. Now I know you didn't have too many upsets in the first round. That's a given.
I'm just giving you credit more for your for having balls,
boldness.
To be honest.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, honestly.
We'll say guts on this family show.
Kind of bad. Sorry about that. But, yeah, I mean, it takes guts to win it. And I didn't really have it in the first round, but I did in the second.
Let's move on to our Sweet 16, though. We're going to skip over the second round a little bit. What is your lowest seed in the Sweet 16?
Okay, well, it's probably not as low as yours, but I wrote a 9 seed, which means I had him beating a 1. I mean, I think the fans at home will guess what it is. I had Wichita State beating Gonzaga.
I don't think any of the fans would have guessed that's what it is, because you're a huge North Carolina fan.
Good point. I did have him beating Villanova, but I was kind of shaking my boots on that one.
Kansas
too.
Can coach.
I had Kansas coasting on that one, but we'll get more on the Final Four and we'll see if Kansas makes it into mine. I don't know. I just it's not even that I'm a fan of the Shockers. I just think Pittsburgh, whoever wins the Pittsburgh-Wichita State game in the Western region, is going to have a great chance to beat Gonzaga. I'm not on board with the Zags. I don't know what it is. It's just the conference. I don't know how they deserve the number one overall seed. Yeah, so what? You only lost twice. I mean, I get it. You're in like one of the worst conferences. I don't know. I just that was a weird one. I don't know really much about Gonzaga too, so I can't really talk too much. I don't really get to watch them out here in the West. But I just don't think they have the team. I mean, it's always a team that's been around the 6-7 in my mind. That's how I always see them as, right, a 6 or 7 team. And all of a sudden they're a 1 seed. I'm like, whoa, what blows them away? It's so evenly matched. That's why I think, whatever, I'll take the chance there.
No, yeah, I completely agree with that. I don't really have as many low seeds as you would expect me to in the Sweet 16. My lowest seed, let's take a look here, is Mississippi.
Yeah, so you ran a 12.
I ran 1-12 because here's what I'm thinking. We'll get to picks that we almost made later, but but Mississippi plays Wisconsin in the first round. I think they handle Wisconsin. You disagree. We'll move on to that later. But right under that, the winner of the Wisconsin-Mississippi game plays the winner of the Kansas State-Boise State-LaSalle game.
Right.
So first we got to see who wins the Boise State-LaSalle game as the play-in game. And I have a feeling that if Boise State beats LaSalle, that Boise State beats Kansas State. So I think that, obviously, that I'm either going to have a 13 or a 12 in my Sweet 16. And I think Mississippi can beat either Kansas State and they win, or Boise State.
Yeah, see, there's another one. There's the fans. 96% of people said Kansas State winning the first round. That one seems high to me, too. Guys, this isn't the same Kansas State team that has Michael Beasley on it. It's not the same team. It doesn't have Bill West. Stop. This team played in like one of the worst conferences in the Big 12, at least according to this year. I think, what, 4 teams made it? It was them, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Iowa State. I think those are the 4. There might be 5 if I'm missing one. But still, come on. That's so easy to run the table. Texas had one of its worst years in history. Yeah, they're a 4 seed. I mean, congrats. They made the championship game, then they got slaughtered by Kansas. They really never had a chance in that game. So I don't – 96% of fans, I agree with you there. Heck, if I were to give – I didn't pick it. I did go with Kansas State, so I sound like a hypocrite, but I feel like there should be more fans for LaSalle, Boise State.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'll back
but
you
it's
up.
Also tough because they haven't played that playing game yet, so you don't know who you're really picking.
Right.
But yeah, so
yeah, neither one of us like LaSalle. I told you before the show, I don't like LaSalle or Mid-Tennessee State. I don't think either one of those programs have any business being in here. It should be Tennessee and UVA.
Right, that's a different issue. We can second-guess the committee all day long. But
yeah.
I think, by and large, they picked the right teams. Maybe there were 3 or 4 teams that got snubbed. But at the same time, they didn't do anything overwhelmingly to say, hey, we should be in the tournament.
That's what? UVA and Tennessee?
Right. They didn't win
down
the stretch.
Well, I don't know how LaSalle.
They didn't schedule a tough out-of-conference schedule. They didn't do anything that said, hey, we definitely deserve to be there.
Well, Virginia had a pretty difficult non-conference. Tennessee, not so much. But Mid-Tennessee State and LaSalle, I think, combined for 2 games inside the top, playing teams in the top 50.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like 2 wins. Really? You win? Okay, like, whatever. It's selection committee. They did well in conference. Cool, good for you. I wish then my team was in a crap conference and I could say the same thing then. But
we'll put ASU in the Big Sky next year or the Big West.
They'd be a 6 seed.
We'll schedule UConn, Kentucky, and Duke, and it doesn't matter if you win or lose.
Win one,
because you
just
have them
one
on your schedule, and then you'll be in the tournament.
That's funny. It's probably true. We should bring that up with the.
We'll talk to the AD.
Yeah, we'll talk to Steve Patterson. Let's see what he says.
Let's move down to conference to get to the NCAA tournament. Well, ASU has their NIT game tomorrow night. And I've personally never been a fan of watching NIT games, but maybe I'll start because I go to a school that's playing in them. Never thought I would do that coming to ASU. But
I'll go tomorrow.
Yeah?
Detroit will be tough, man.
It will be tough.
Ray McCollum had 20, I think he's had like 20 points for a guard, or 19 maybe, pretty shabby. I mean, Detroit's a team that's not going to kill you. But
right. That'll be anyway, a great guard matchup with him and Carson. Though.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about the not invited right. tournament, a.k.a. the National Invitational Tournament.
It's a great nickname. So let's move on then. This is one that really, when you look at my bracket, you're shocked. How many non-BCS schools do you have making the Elite Eight?
Yeah, here we go. This is where we separate. Me? None. I don't have any. Mine are all big conferences.
Well, then read off your Elite Eight real quick, then.
My Elite Eight? All right. I'll go, I kind of spoil it later. But I have Louisville and Duke in the Midwest, so I went 1-2. Then I went with Wisconsin and Ohio State in the West, because I did not like Gonzaga beating Wichita State-Pittsburgh. Then in the East, I had Syracuse and Miami. So I had a little upset there, by the way. For I actually did not ride Indiana to the Elite Eight.
Right.
Could be risky, but whatever. I'll take that one. Then I also had Kansas and Florida in the South. So I had 2 1 seeds. I actually had 3 of the 2 seeds advancing, 1 4, 1 5, and a 3 seed.
Okay.
So all big conferences.
So so not only do you not have a BCS team, a 3 seed is your lowest seed.
No, 4 seed with Syracuse.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
So still a big name, big school.
Yeah. Okay. I went with Jim Boeheim, sure. He could beat Indiana. I mean, we saw Wisconsin do it. Wisconsin's not the best team offensively. They just play good defense.
Right. I think they're losing to Montana, but that's a different argument altogether. I went the opposite way here. It's not that I picked 8 seeds to make the Elite Eight, but I have 3 teams in non-BCS schools. I'll start out in the Midwest. My Elite Eight, or my final matchup in the Midwest, is St. Louis and Duke. I have St. Louis beating Louisville in the round before. I don't know. I just don't trust them. I know they're the number one overall seed.
Yeah,
but
they lost 3 in a row back a little while ago. Then all of a sudden, they're the best team in basketball? That's what I found
it's
shocking.
It's confusing.
Yeah, this is a team that was a 1 seed. Then all of a sudden, the committee and whatever, the USA Today polls, the AP polls, like, oh, Louisville is on a downshot. Let's put them at, like, number 12. Now all of a sudden, they're the best team in college basketball?
What? I don't know. It's not reflective of the regular season. I'm lost.
I'm confused, too.
All right, so in the West, I go chalk. I have Gonzaga and Ohio State.
Okay.
But going chalk and having Gonzaga is having a non-BCS school. So we'll count one there, plus the 1 St. Louis one is 2 so far. You go to the South, and I have Kansas and Georgetown, the 1 and the 2 seed there. So no non-BCS school. But then I have my third non-BCS school in the East. I have Butler. After they're beating Bucknell and they're beating Marquette, I have them beating Miami of Florida, which is a huge upset in my eyes. And I have them and Indiana in the Elite Eight of the East.
That's
so
crazy.
I have 3 non-BCS schools, but I do have 3 1 seeds. I have 3 2 seeds and a 6 and a 4.
Yeah, so you have nearly half the teams are non-BCS. I think it's funny because you do bring up a point. Again, it comes back. I don't know if it comes back to guts or if it just comes back to me. I mean, I tried to ride it based on their coaching because with the team so evenly matched this year, I think the best coaches are going to advance to the Final Fours. I think you had a similar mindset. That's what we had in the preseason as well in our first NCAA talk of the full court press.
I completely agree. I think coaching is going to be huge. But at the same time, aside from St. Louis, maybe you haven't heard of who that coach is, and Gonzaga.
I can't even tell you Gonzaga's coach, to be honest.
And you can't tell me who Gonzaga's coach is, but at the same time, Gonzaga, to get there in my bracket, has to beat Wichita State, a team that they can beat up
on. Yeah, they have the easiest road to the Final Four for a 1 seed.
Or at least to the Elite Eight. And then I have them beating Mississippi. So I don't have them beating anybody that they can't beat. Like, as obviously a 1 seed can't
Mark
upset
Few.
Anybody.
That's right, Mark Few. I guess I do know that name, but I just couldn't think of it.
And Gonzaga's been good for a long time, and he's been the head of it for a long time. But then obviously I have Bill Self at Kansas. I have Tom Crean at Indiana, and I have Brad Stevens at Butler.
Yeah.
And so even though they're not all teams that you expect to be there, they're all coaches that you could see, okay, he is the talent to get there.
Right. No, well, I mean, you know, even funnier, let's before we go too far into the final four, we're just about to give those. We were talking kind of jokingly. What's the one first round upset that you didn't have the guts to pick?
I'll let you start with that one.
All right, to talk about this. This is what I wanted to preface it with. When you mentioned Miami, I first thought of this question. I'm like, you know what? Honestly, Pacific College, if they beat Miami, I wouldn't be surprised. It's just I don't know who's going to win these first round games. I don't think a 16 is going to be the one. Like I don't think that record is going to break this year. But God, if we see 3-14 seeds advance, I'd be like, yep, this is basketball this year. This is the definition of 2013 basketball. So the one team that I was not willing to take the risk on was Davidson over Marquette, and that was a 14-3 in the Eastern side, which would be a huge upset. But I didn't. Why I didn't go? Well, why I could have went with it is because Davidson's a very good 3-point shooting team, just like Belmont that you mentioned. There's 37% from behind the arc. They very rarely turn the ball over. They're a pretty good stealing team. They're decent high scoring. Marquette, on the opposite side, turns the ball over quite a bit. They have barely no presence behind the three. But that's not where their game is. They're more of a grinding team, and they don't have a standout shooter. They're just because they don't have a shooter, and Davidson typically has the shooters. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It was going to be, do you want to go with the inside presence of Marquette, a team that's going to slash very well and play very fundamental pick-and-roll basketball, or are you going to go with a risk and say, yeah, Davidson's going to do it like they did when they had Curry years back. But I didn't pick it, but fun to watch.
You almost picked it. We'll credit you for that if it comes true. I've been through all my upsets here on the show. I don't know if there are any that I didn't make that I could have
made. I guess
made.
The one was just your if Boise State right. or BYU, excuse me. If Boise State. If Boise State beat LaSalle, you would have had them possibly beating Kansas State, but we don't know.
Right.
The games are going to play tomorrow.
Right. The brackets officially, at least I'm doing it on Yahoo. Yahoo doesn't need their brackets in by Thursday. And that's when everything really gets going. So if Boise State beats LaSalle tomorrow, I am moving Boise State over Kansas State.
Okay. So you're still going to go with it.
I'm going to wait. No. If LaSalle wins, I'm leaving Kansas State
right.
there.
Okay, wait. And then Boise State goes, that puts it to 6 total games. So you have an extra. I'll give you a freebie on that, by the way.
I appreciate it.
Well, then I'm doing 3 of the 6.
Okay. So I just got to get 50%. I think I can do that.
Yeah.
So, okay. We've gone through all our upsets. We've gotten a couple sleepers through. We've picked the upsets that we almost picked. We've talked about our Elite Eight. Nick, it's time to bring up our Final Four.
All right.
Now, we picked a Final Four before the season started. How similar is yours to how it was earlier on?
Wow, it's funny. All right, let's both mention ours really quick. And just so they know, we did do a pretty darn good job, though, in terms of higher teams. So before the season, I had Ohio State, who's a 2 seed, Indiana's a 1 seed, Michigan State's now a 3 seed, and Louisville's a 1 seed. That was my Final Four, but the brackets were a little bit goofed up because Michigan State's in the same with Louisville, so right. I obviously changed mine. How'd yours break down for preseason?
Preseason? You don't have mine in front of you for preseason? Because I'm really hoping you do, because I can remember it.
Yours were Duke was number 1. You had Ohio State was number 2. Or, excuse me, Duke was a number 2 seed. Ohio State's number 2 seed. Indiana's number 1 seed.
Oh, and I had Kansas.
And you had Kansas the 1
Kansas,
seed.
I had Kansas, Indiana, Duke, and Michigan State. No, I had Michigan State, not Ohio State.
Oh, sorry.
I had Michigan State. So the reason mine couldn't work out, I have Michigan State as a 3 seed in the same region in the Midwest that Duke is a 2 seed. So that couldn't happen. But I'll read my Final Four off first. I stuck with Kansas making the Final Four.
Kay.
I stuck with Duke making the Final Four.
Kay.
I picked Ohio State instead of Michigan State.
Okay.
And I stuck with Indiana, who I said is going to win it all.
Wait, that's not true. Oh, well, yeah, because they're in different conferences.
Right.
Ohio State's in the West, and Michigan State's still in the,
right.
the Midwest. Gotcha.
Right. And I said on our preview show, Indiana's going to win the national title, and guess what? I have Indiana winning the national title.
All right.
With little Zeller pulling cutting down the nets.
Well, maybe not so
winning
little.
The MVP.
No, not so little.
How about him young Zeller?
There we go. Him watching Oladipo. Man, they've torn
trio.
It up. There's a reason why they stayed the 1 seed throughout from preseason to postseason.
That's right.
Interesting. So you kept 3 of your 4 the same. The only one that changed is because Michigan State got snubbed and they were in the bracket with Duke.
Right.
You
if Michigan State was in the West.
Yeah, they jump ship and go to Ohio State.
Right. Yeah.
So you stayed the same. Mine actually changed up a little bit. I didn't want to stick with the same ones I did. So again, I had Ohio State, Indiana, Michigan State, Louisville. Those are my preseason ones. Out of those, the only one I have advancing to the Final Four still is Ohio State. So I stuck with that Mata and the Big Ten team. Then I switched it and I had Duke,
who I have
coming out of the Midwest over Louisville. So I changed from Louisville. From Patino to Krzyzewski. Again, I'm doing the coaching thing. Out in the South, I changed. Oh, I don't know who I guess I changed it from, but I went to Bill Self, I guess, instead of, let's say, Tom Izzo, because
right.
I had Izzo stuck in the same bracket with Patino.
And Krzyzewski.
And Krzyzewski. So instead, I changed my mind from Izzo, who's a 3 seed, over to Krzyzewski and over Patino. And then I went with. You know what? I ran Jim Boeheim in Syracuse. I went with Syracuse. I had a gut feeling about them at the beginning of the season. I think I said it once, too. I'm like, Syracuse could be a team to watch. I'd be interested to see them.
We've talked about them, and then you liked Ohio State also.
And I had them. And I liked Ohio State in the beginning. God, I was way off in the Kraft, though, man. I was like, Kraft could be a player of the year dark horse, and he came with like 9 points a game.
He could be a tournament of the year.
He could. He's a difference maker. He is a difference maker, but he's not like a phenomenal player. So I was a little bit off on that point. But
No, but defense wins championships.
Yep.
And
so you
he
had,
can cover the ball.
So you had 2 1-seeds and 2 2-seeds.
Right.
So I had 1 1-seed, 2 2-seeds, and a 4-seed.
I had to go chalk eventually.
Yeah.
But we've both had coaching as a theme all year long.
We did.
I have Bill Self, Coach K, Thad Mata, and Tom Crean.
Speaking of which, okay, so we know he had Crean. Then who's he playing in the championship?
Right.
So do you have Crean winning?
I have Crean beating Coach K and Duke.
Okay.
In the championship. I have Duke beating Ohio State in the Final Four. And just for tiebreaker purposes on Yahoo's bracket, I have Indiana 70, Duke 64.
All right. Interesting. I did ride Duke. I switched it completely for a UNC fan to go with Duke. Man, that's I know. You got to applaud me on that one because I don't do that too often. I know Duke's capable of choking in tournament time, but the reason I...
Whoa! 18-1 with Kelly this year.
Exactly. That's why I did not... That's why I wrote him because they have an inside presence for, like, the first time and since they won it, like, what? About
3 years ago?
Was that quick?
Yeah, 3 years ago.
No way.
Yeah,
I guess it was.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that was the one time that live by the three, die by the three. They live by the three. But
yes, they did.
I put Duke in the finals. I have him against Bill Self in Kansas. I have Kansas winning it. Sorry, Duke fans. Sorry, Josh. But, I mean, you did the same thing. I had them winning by 9 for a tiebreaker. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting bracket. I think the final thoughts are both of our brackets are completely different. They kind of pan out similar in the end. I wasn't gutsy in the beginning. If I were to pick my two gutsiest picks of this bracket, we're riding Syracuse to the Final Four, and everybody's going to agree with that.
And that's what
it
is.
And then Wichita State over Gonzaga. Those are my two gutsy picks.
All right, if Syracuse gets to the Final Four, you're getting your FaceTime.
All right.
Because I have Syracuse losing in the first round. You haven't made it all the way to the Final Four.
That one's going to be tough, too, because they have a tough road, man. UNLV, if you're a Montana pick, then we both had them against UNLV.
Right.
Then against Indiana, who are, if they even make it there, I'd be on a high. I'd be so pumped.
That's not an easy road.
Then either, if you're looking at the bottom, you had Butler. Butler, who went to the championship 2 straight years, and I had him against Miami, so yikes. Right. Whatever, I'm going with it, man.
Well, this tournament can shape up in a bunch of different ways. We'll see how it goes. I hope you enjoyed our March Madness special show.
Hey, what if none of us get FaceTime?
Well, then we'll talk how we normally do. For Nick Merrick, I'm Josh Franz. We'll talk to you next week.